Hey, everyone, before we get started with the show, just wanted to let you know we had a couple of small issues throughout the recording of episode 99. First, JR was a genius and forgot to have his mic all the way plugged in. So, yeah, you'll notice for about the first quarter of the show, he's going through his webcam mic and then we finally get it squared away. So I apologize about that. Tannen also is on scene in Un'Goro Crater, aka the in-laws' house, and the Wi-Fi is okay, so you'll also notice that. So the quality is a little bit different than what you're used to. Just wanted to let you know that we know that, and also want to brace you that it may not be the beautiful sounding Wellmet that you are used to. Either way, we had a blast discussing all of the new stuff with Un'Goro Crater this week. And I hope you enjoy episode 99. This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
We're almost there. Quiet down, everyone. This is not like any of our previous expeditions. This will be far more ambitious.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
We made it. We finally made it. We've been out in the wild searching for wild dinosaurs all day long. So we're a little bit late. Welcome to episode 99, one away from 100 of Well Met Podcast. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. It is February 27, 2017. I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, he is actually on site in Un'Goro right now. It is none other than the Tannen Grace. Tannen, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man. It feels good to be surrounded by dinosaurs.
It does. Good. Good. So if we, Tannen is a little bit remote this week. So if we have some audio dropouts and whatnot, we'll deal with that as it comes through. But, we thank him so much for being on site here. We needed someone on scene to combat those big news crews that are already on site in Un'Goro.
Yeah, it looks like he's got a pretty nice hat on as well. And he's got some purple like ears like hanging out of his.
Yes.
He's got like two pairs of ears.
That was a
purple one. So
you can tell that the person who did the Photoshop on that spent a lot of time to make sure that it looked perfect. Definitely didn't do it 1 minute after the show was supposed to start. So yeah, there's that. That other voice though is none other than our very own from Kansas City, J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, John. No, super excited. We got a big announcement today. It kind of came out. I won't say it came out of nowhere, but it sort of did as of like Fridays when we started going, oh, there's something is going to happen on Monday. And we initially expected it to be at PAX East, but here we are today.
Cool. And sorry for that for the video, people. I just totally botched the audio, too. It's fixed now. There's a lot of moving parts to this show right now, and we're just all sliding with it. Tannen said hello. JR said hello.
All the ones watching on the video will have to go back and listen to the podcast. So that they can hear me tell my bad jokes.
So sorry about that. It's I promise it's more complicated than it looks. I make it look easy, but it's so hard sometimes.
Oh, I don't want to.
It is. Yeah. It's not fun sometimes. Anyways, before we get started, we have a couple housekeeping things. We're going to jump straight into the big news this week because, well, we've got some big news. First, this is actually going to be our new normal time. No, not 14 minutes late, but on Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/blizzpro. It just works better for everyone. So if you are used to tuning in live or haven't been able to tune in live Sunday nights at 7 p.m., well, that's changed. We're going to be Monday nights now, which means that the show's going to be posting on Tuesday mornings. That's going to be the only difference. If you're like, ooh, I love getting well met on my Monday morning type thing, sorry, it's going to be Tuesday now, but hopefully
just
everybody
to
else.
It a week later.
Yeah, just wait 6 days and be all out of date. Makes total sense. Thanks, JR, for that color cop commentary. Second of all, patrons. So many of you wanted to play Tannen or a host in a best of three. I couldn't keep track of it, and I totally dropped the ball. So everyone who has emailed me, I have sent you an email back with a Google Sheets sign up. So you can head on over to the link that I send you. If I didn't send you it or you haven't signed up yet, just send me an email. I'm going to post it on Twitter, Twitch, Patreon. I'm going to post it on Patreon later and on the Facebook group later as well. You can sign up right there. I'm only going about 5 weeks in advance just so we can kind of see how that all looks. But we would love to play a best of three with you on stream after the show on Monday nights, about 8:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific time. Our goal is to keep it to about a half hour. So if you run three Reno decks, doesn't matter how much you're paying, I'm unfriending you. So
I have a little bit of a warning for everyone. I've been playing in a tournament series lately, and I just made the finals today. So I think I got my competitive juices flowing again, and I'm not taking it easy on our Patreons if I play against them. I'm letting them know that ahead of time.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So that's it for me for housekeeping. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I don't even care about your weeks in Hearthstone, honestly. anything else we wanted to talk about, or can we just jump in to the news?
I'm good with jumping in.
All right, we're going to jump into the news then.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
We're almost there. Quiet down, everyone. This is not like any of our previous expeditions. This will be far more ambitious. We're stepping into a land of primordial wonder. Infused with astonishing elemental energies. The plant life here holds very unusual properties. So don't touch anything. And while you may be excited to see the local fauna, you might want to make sure they don't see you. Because their powers of adaptation are devastating. Make no mistake, we will be tested at every turn. But if we stay on our guard, we might just survive. Now then, are you ready? Then let's journey into Ongoro Crater.
We did it. Nothing exploded for that. So that was good. We are journeying. Mind, what's that?
My mind exploded.
Your mind exploded. Fair enough. It's not hard to do with Tannen, though. Let's just be fair a second. So the next Hearthstone expansion has been announced. It is the Journey into Ongoro Crater. And we've got all the details for you. And of course, in just a few minutes, we're also going to go through and review the cards, the tribes, the keywords, everything that's been revealed for you on the show. So we're going to make sure to get all of that through here in the show today. But first, let's jump into just the initial reactions. This is a big surprise. Nobody anticipated, just like La La Land winning at the Oscars last night. Everybody, I know, I'm so tilted. I am so tilted by it. They should have won. We had actually talked about this on the show a few weeks back. There was some pretty credible leaks about
The Lost Secrets of Ungoro. So it was a little bit different name. Yeah.
Right. So a little bit different name, but it is finalized now. Journey into Ungoro is announced. We didn't have anything else. So what are your guys' reaction to this? Tannen, I'll let you go first. Initial reactions on Journey into Ungoro.
Mind officially blown. I like big sets more than I like adventures. I could take or leave the solo stuff, though I do find it somewhat fun. Give me as many new cards as possible every single time. Super excited. And I'm really excited for all the changes that are coming to the game with it, which we're going to get super into later. So I don't want to, you know, reveal that a little too much. But honestly, man, I haven't been this excited about Hearthstone in a while.
Awesome. That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear from you too. Somebody who's a little bit more competitive, somebody who's hit legend multiple times and, you know, we kind of rely on for being up there. So I'm glad to hear that. JR, do you echo that sentiment or?
I mean, I'm always excited when there's a new set announced, right? I like to see what theme they're going to do, what the theme's going to be, what new mechanics there's going to be. We did learn that there's going to be a couple new mechanics. There's going to be, Adapt and quests, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Spoiler, JR, you can't do that, man. Come on. I scolded Tannen last week. I'm not letting you off the hook this week.
I still feel the burn from it, too.
It's fine. True. It's harsh.
I've been around well enough that it just doesn't affect me anymore when I get hit by John.
I'm just going to have to turn it up to 11. Yeah.
But okay. No, you know, I'm excited for stuff like that. On the flip side of that, though, there wasn't really a lot shown. Like, we only got 4 new cards so far, and we're not going to see anything else until later. So I'm a little disappointed about that. But as far as like Ungoro, I'm excited for the theme. And I'm excited to see what we're going to get. But it's hard for me to say like this is going to be an awesome set when there hasn't been a lot revealed, but however, I am also with Tannen that I'm excited for all the other stuff that we talked about last week and that we also forgot to talk about last week.
Oh my God. We are the worst show ever. We totally forgot to talk about so much. So I'm hopefully we have time at the end of the show to talk about the big things that we missed last week, like ranked floors, you know, no big deal. Arena going standard, no big deal. Nerfs to small time Buccaneer and Spirit Claws, no big deal.
Fireside Gathering stuff that we also missed.
Yeah, NBD. Yeah. Sam Benson would be very would be very sad to hear me say that. No, it's a big deal. There's tons. No, I am too. There's a ton of awesome stuff to talk about, and we still have a whole new expansion to talk about as well. So let's go ahead. Let's jump right in. Let's get you the deets here. So first, there's 135 new cards this expansion. So the official kind of Year of the Mammoth, they said roughly 130. We're getting 135. So we could get over 400 cards this year, which is kind of exciting, kind of scary. I don't know why 400 is my tipping point, but anything over 400, I feel overwhelmed. 390 is fine, but 400 is where I'm like, oh my God, that's so many cards. I don't have the money for that.
399. 399. Okay. 400, John just loses his mind.
It's a classic retail trick. 399. You're like, great, I'll buy one of everything. So we do have that. Second, 2 legendaries per class. There's going to be 1 minion, 1 quest. Don't worry, we'll get to that later. Sit down, Carl. Step away from the keyboard. We'll talk about it. and there will be 5 neutral legendaries as well. As JR alluded to, we don't have a whole lot of cards. We actually, I mean, we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different cards to talk about, but they only are
not collectible cards.
Right,
though.
Exactly. Tokens. Only 4 collectible cards to talk about. So the rest will start getting to be revealed on March 17th. And the expansion release, as well as the set rotation, because these two go hand in hand, will begin in early April. So first, all that out of the way, I don't think we need to chime in any more about those things. Let's talk about some of the new stuff coming in. And the first thing is we have a new tribe, and that is going to be Elemental. So Elemental is the new tribe. JR, let's hear your thoughts first. So Elemental will be added to existing cards like Earth Elemental, Fire Guard Destroyer, I believe, is also an Elemental.
Ragnaros.
Ragnaros is an Elemental. Yep. So they will be adding that tribe text to those existing cards, but we're also going to get some new Elemental cards as well. Including one called Pyros, which we'll talk about in a bit. JR, how do you like the introduction of Elementals to Hearthstone?
Well, I like the idea of them adding more tribes. I like tribes in general. I like Murlocs. I even like Pirates. I liked Pirates a lot more before this set. You know, mechs and things like that, dragons, of course. But I always wondered, like, if they were ever going to introduce a new tribe, how that would work. But I like the fact that they introduced it while also making existing cards now fit into that tribe, so that you have like a built-in tribe mechanic now in Wild as well. And not just standard going forward. And with some of these cards also being in the classic set, it's a tribe that they can continue to kind of build on in the future, since these cards, some of these cards, unfortunately not Ragnaros, rest in peace, but the other elementals that will still exist in, you know, the classic and basic sets, and will be continuing to move forward. So the issue, though, is we didn't really see how these elementals will interact in the set yet. Like, there hasn't been any revealed cards on how they will work. You know, special things that will give elemental different things. We haven't seen those yet. So I'm curious to see where that goes.
Interesting. Tannen, what are people saying in Un'Goro, where you currently are stationed? AKA, how do you feel about elementals in Hearthstone?
Well, I'm going to start it with kind of asking a rhetorical question to everyone listening in, you two guys. Name me a tribe in the game that at one point in time wasn't a tier one, like, deck to build around. You know, Murlocs. Dragons, mechs. Okay, there was a point in time where Murlocs were actually pretty good
Okay. Murloc, Warlock.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it had its, like, literal day in the sun. But everything else has been pretty good for a pretty extended period of time. You know, there's been dragons. There's been mechs and things like that. So I'm excited and kind of like waiting on bated breath to see how good it's going to be. Because every time they've done this, they've pushed it. It's been very good for constructed play. So I'm waiting to see if we get some kind of, you know, make elementals cheaper, make elementals better kind of thing in the set or in the next one. So I think this is a good lead in for it becoming constructed playable. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Cool. As for me, I'm apathetic. I'm
just lukewarm.
I'm
or
not
what?
Gonna lie. I'm just like, until I see some cards that capitalize on elemental synergy, doesn't matter yet. As for, you know, for me, no, not yet. There's nothing that really matters to me seeing this elemental thing. As soon as we see the first, you know, add +1/+1 to all elementals in your hand, I'll always be kind of like, meh. You know, just like pirates, right? We saw a lot of cool pirates for the longest time and never saw anything cool done with them. And they were just all these pirates, but there was so few. When you have a pirate in your hand or when you play a pirate, do this. So that's what I need to see. At the same time,
all they needed was someone to be in charge now, and it all took off.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, not just that, but it comes down to the point of, like, synergy is very, very good in card games. And when you have a 30-card deck and you can fill your deck full of a lot of synergistic stuff, you're starting to see that with pirates now. They finally found their, like, really cohesive synergy thing, and they're great. So maybe Elementals isn't good yet, like, even with this whole set, even though we haven't seen it, maybe it's not great yet, but give it time and it might be.
Yeah, we'll have to, and you're right, right? We have 2 years to find out how worthless Elementals are long term. So we'll have to see. Overall, we are more than a month away. Are you, I mean, you can't say no, but you can't say yes. But does early April feel right for you for a release date for this expansion? I feel like, me personally, I feel like it does, because HCT will be wrapping up by then. I believe that's March 20-something through the 20-something. So there's literally, you know, a week to 2 weeks of intervening time, and then boom, we're into Un'Goro Crater. Does that feel about right to you guys?
I would be very surprised if it's not like the first week of April.
Yeah.
Just for the fact HCT, and we've been talking about this for a while, that seemed to be about when the release dates would be. It was like right after those HCT championships, like the beginning of that following month. April feels right. And if you do look at the blog, like, while they don't announce a date on there, they say that the cards that you can pre-order will be available to you early April. So they do kind of mention it there.
Mm. Something too, keep in mind, when I believe Hearthstone last time they said early something was early December for Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, and that was December 1st.
Yeah.
So early, sometimes early in the month does mean early in the month, instead of like Apple, where if they say, you know, summer 2016, they mean September 1st, like the last day of summer. So I think it's pretty likely. How do you feel about that, Tannen?
Now, I agree with both of you that I think the timing's perfect, you know, right after HTC. But then there's that part of me, and it's like maybe some part vindictive and then some part like, this is the way I believe it should be, that it should just be the week before HCT and that these guys should have to figure out a whole new meta for the biggest tournament they play and be like, here, guys, just figure it out. That's how a lot of other games do it. Right before the biggest tournaments of the year, they release a new set and the pros have to figure it out first. And I love seeing it because it really, really, you know, rewards the people who put in the extra time and effort. And that would be really sweet to see possibly in the future. But, you know, it just makes sense otherwise.
Sure.
Yeah. And looking at the dates here, I saw someone in chat say April 1st would not be ideal. And I do agree with that. April 1st already does fall on a Saturday this year. So we're probably going to see it like the 4th or 5th of April is what I'm guessing.
Yeah. I would love an April Fool's launch.
It'd be so good. God, it'd be so good.
Good old Blizzard. They would
Ben
find
Brode
a way.
Would do it.
Yeah. They would. Brode, I mean, would. There was a company who would release an expansion on April Fool's Day, and you never know what's true or not. It would be Blizzard.
That's true.
So let's, hey, you know what? Let's jump into some of these cards here, because we've got quite a few cards to talk about. And want to do that in a timely fashion. So let's jump in. All right. So Elemental Destruction is phasing out. And Shaman people are crying for a replacement. They really are. They're crying. They're saying Shaman's not strong right now. They need effective entire board removal. And so, you know, don't worry.
Make Shaman
Ben Brode,
great again.
Yeah. Ben Brode, Yang Wu, have your back. And it is a spell called Volcano. It is a 5-mana shaman rare spell that reads, deal 15 damage randomly split among all minions, overload 2. Immediately I went to, okay, this is basically Elemental Destruction 2.0. Very situational. We'll see some play in those uber control type decks or uber anti-aggro decks, but overall not that great of a spell. JR, do you think I'm on the right track here, or what else do you have to add about this?
I think it has some interesting things you can do with it that's a little bit better. Like, Elemental Destruction is one of those cards that you didn't see a lot, but you saw sometimes. And it was depending on if Control Shaman was any good at the current state of the game. And every once in a while, Control Shaman would kind of sneak up on you and be pretty decent and then kind of disappear again.
Thanks, Polento. Yeah.
Yeah. But this, I feel, is a little bit better than Elemental Destruction, because you can kind of use it in the early game on like a bunch of little minions and things like that. Or you can potentially use it in the late game if you are playing a control matchup and they have like one big creature on the board or two big creatures on the board, and you can get rid of them because it does 15, you know, it's going to do 15 damage split amongst those minions. Yeah. And so in that case, I think it's a little bit better than Elemental Destruction, that you can kind of use it against those bigger minions in that control matchup later on.
What about the Patron Enablers, though? Patron Warrior coming back for all the 50% Shaman you're seeing on ladder right now running this card. Well,
that's rotating out of standard, so that's good.
At least. Hallelujah. Come on. Tannen, what do you think about this card, man?
So I kind of agree with both of you on this one. I think, John, you kind of got it right where you think you're going to see it, you know, a little more frequently, kind of like Elemental Destruction. But I kind of agree with JR here that, like, this one in a way is a lot better in some ways because, yeah, you don't consistently get, you know, 5 or 6 damage across a bunch of minions while it's spread out. This one's a little more abusable, right? Like, you can kill 2 big minions with this one. Or if, like, let's say the only minion you have out is Acolyte of Pain, you know, while this is going off, this is something you can actually get a lot of value from as well. And then, not to mention, it doesn't take your entire turn away from you the next turn. Elemental Destruction usually overloaded you, what was it, for 5, if I remember right?
Yes.
It's been a while since I've played this card. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's overloaded 5. Yeah. And so you're not playing much in your next turn, especially if you have to play it early in the game. While this one, if you play it early, you can still play some stuff on the next turn.
Right. Something I was thinking about, too, is, you know, let's say it's an empty board and your opponent plays Ragnaros or something like that. It's a 5 mana Ragnaros clear. Is it that much worse than a Siphon Soul as long as you don't have a whole lot on your side of the board? It's probably not. So it's kind of interesting to see you know, the different uses. I think the jury is still out because it's not hard removal. You don't choose who it hits. It is situational. It could very much backfire on you if you have a strong board. You don't want to play it if you have a strong board. So there definitely are some downsides to this, but at the same time, you can definitely manipulate situations, you know, that it takes to see those. I'm going to go straight to my face here while we figure out cameras and other things. Yeah, so like there's definitely, you know what, why not? Let's just go right back to the thing anyway. We're talking about the card. So there it is. Anyways, there's no way that this becomes a tier 1 card for Shaman. And I think we're mostly in agreement with that. The question is, does it get used? Does it get situationally used as kind of a comeback mechanic for that? And to be fair, Michael is making fun of me in chat. Rag will not be in standard, but some people like to play wild, Michael. Think about it.
You know, I think there's a chance that you see the situation that JR kind of spelled out for us here happen, because we don't know what's going to happen with the minions in this set too much, but we can assume that there's going to be some pretty impactful big stuff, right? You know, like, we're going to be losing a lot of dragons. I'm assuming we're going to get a lot of big dinosaur beast like cards in this set. And sometimes if they go like 6-drop, 7-drop on you, you need to do something like Volcano to stop this and be able to kill both of these effectively, like as a 2-for-1. And this is a card that can get that done. And since I'm on location, can we stop talking about volcano eruptions? I'm getting a little nervous looking around.
That's not how logic works, by the way, just for the record.
I'm not logical. We know this.
It's true. It is true. JR, what do you think? Do you think that in the end, well, we already talked about it. I honestly, this is a little behind the scenes. JR was fixing his mic a little bit. I want to see if he fixed it.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
There it is. Oh, it sounds so much better.
We figured still, difficulties the
we
show.
Figured it out.
Either way, blame it on Skype. Just Skype is the worst. Discord, if you can come out with that audio video thing and make sure that we can get static frames, I will be the first person to run a podcast on your thing.
You want to know what happened? Is my microphone up here became unplugged and I didn't notice it.
Oh.
So hey, you sound much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering why it sounded kind of weird. I blamed it on Tannen. It's what we kind of do on
the show. It's always my fault.
It is. Let's be honest. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Card number 2 of 13, but also of 4. Pyros. So Pyros is the only legendary collectible minion that we saw. No spoilers. Get revealed this week, and it is an interesting one. So let me take you through this card for a second. So Pyros is a 2-mana, 6-mana, and a 10-mana legendary minion. Before Tannen freaks out, because I can see already there's volcanoes erupting, dinosaurs everywhere, and now we're hearing about one legendary minion that's 3. Yes. So how this card works, Pyros is a 2-mana, 2-2 elemental that reads Death Rattle. Return this to your hand as a 6-6 that cost 6. So now in your hand, you have a 6-6 that costs 6 called Pyros, also an elemental, with a death rattle that reads, return this to your hand as a 10-10 that costs 10. And then, of course, at the end of it, you've got Pyros that's a 10-10 for 10. So there are a lot of people who say too slow, not going to be played. 6-6 for 6 isn't great. 10-10 for 10 isn't great stats. I am going to say this may be great for control and one of decks. I'm going to continue to call them Reno decks, even though Reno is phasing out. I think that people will really like having this card in their decks. I give it like a B- for constructed play. Tannen, I'm going to let you go first. Let JR go first last time. I'm going to let you go first. What do you think about Pyros?
I like this card a lot, actually, especially if you can draw it early. If you consistently have this guy on like turn 2, this card could actually have a pretty big impact in the game because it consistently adds cards to your decks that are going to have impacts later in the game. So if you draw them, you're fine with that. Not the best top deck late in the game, but I mean, that's what happens when you put 2 drops and stuff in your deck. It kind of reminds me of White Eyes, and we've seen that card actually popping up a little bit here or there in some decks too. So definitely, like you said, very powerful card. I don't think this is going to be a ubiquitous card that we're going to see like everywhere and dominating metas, but definitely very powerful effect going on here.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tannen. Thank you for finally agreeing with me. It feels good having people on the show who will at least kind of agree with me sometimes for once in my life. Agree with me. JR, why am I wrong?
I didn't think about this until Tannen said it, but I do like the fact that, you know, if you get it on turn 2, it's not bad because then you're playing it basically on curve at that point. And then continuing to kind of play it on curve, you know, if it dies. But other than that, like, this card didn't really blow me away as being that great and that awesome. I felt like, I don't know, it's like whenever I have a card that is a 10-10-10 or a 6-6-6, like, those just aren't, you know, that appeasing to me. And then if it gets silenced early, like if your 2-2 gets silenced, you don't get the stuff later on, and it just feels like, oh, cool, I got to
add it. But they silenced a 2-2. They silenced a 2-mana card.
For the fact that you don't
get it later. I will take that every day. I will run that card every day just for silence bait because of what JR just said.
Or, you know, if you play it late against Priest and they take it away from you, that would kind of suck too. But Priest can basically take anything from you at this point anyway. So
they can also mind control my 2-2. They can mind control my 2-2.
Well, no, I was thinking of the 4-5 minions.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
I will say this: this card looks really sweet with Nuzlocke.
It does.
So yeah. You get back all the iterations of it that have died.
Well, and I also think of all the dead turns you have as like Freeze Mage, right? Where a lot of times you have nothing to play, not because if you had a card to play tempo, you couldn't play it, but because you just don't run enough minions that are there. This guarantees at least 3 turns worth of minions for you. You don't have to worry about fishing it into our deck. We've all been a part of the Elise conspiracy where at card 29 or card 30 is when we finally get mapped to the Golden Monkey. And then we're like, well, cool. Let me take this one shield slam and turn it into a Nat Pagel. Thanks, Blizz. we've all been there before. So this at least guarantees you that, number one, you're not actually thinning your hand until they remove it, which is kind of insane. Even if you play it late, you're right, you played a 2-2 on turn 7 for something. It does mean that next turn, assuming that they remove it, you have a 6-6 to play. And if they remove it again, boom, now you have a 10-10 to play. I like this card. This is one of my, you know, every expansion, we have one of those cards that we're willing to be horribly wrong about just to hope that they work. This is my card for that. So
Four cards in. John's already got it.
I don't even care. This is the one. I'm excited about it just because people are so, they immediately put it off as too slow. And I disagree with that assessment. It is slow. And if we didn't have the nerfs coming to different things and if aggro stays relevant, yeah, this card is silly bad. But assuming that Blizzard has taken a look at the recent meta and go, you know what? Aggro had its day. Let's slow it up a little bit. Let's bring those mid-range decks back. Let's bring those control decks back. I think this is going to be an okay card.
Yeah. As a card stands right now, without knowing what else gets revealed, I'm just meh, in my opinion. It doesn't excite me.
Well, you're wrong. Just kidding. All right. Next up, we have a new Druid Beast. We've all been through this before. I don't even know. Fine. We'll do it anyway. Beast Druid is going to be a thing. It's a called Verdant Longneck. It's a 5-mana, 5/4 beast with a battle cry that says, adapt! Adapt!
quick, adapt!
what is it? Michael Scott says, adapt, react, readapt, act. That's his four steps to management. Adapt, react, readapt, act. So we have a new keyword, I guess, called adapt. And this is kind of a hefty one. I don't know the best way to talk through this, so I'm just going to talk through it right now. What adapt does is whenever the keyword is triggered, it gives you one of 10 augmentations. Is that the right thing? Because these don't go to your hand, correct? These just are played on top of the minion.
Right. Yeah, they're played on top of the minion, the text.
Right. Yeah. So we've got quite a few. We've got one called, these are all 0-mana spells as far as the card says. But one's called Massive, which gives the minion taunt. One called Living Spores, which gives the minion Death Rattle. Summon 2/1/1 plants, which is a 1-mana, 1/1 minion. No other card text. We have Liquid Membrane, which says can't be targeted by spells or hero powers. We have Lightning Speed, which is Wind Fury. We have Flaming Claws, which is +3 attack. And we have Crackling Shield, which is Divine Shield. We also saw that there is one that says basically plus one. So it also gain plus one attack and plus one health. But I don't think we have a name for that yet or card art or anything else. We just know that it says plus one, plus one.
So, yeah, that was on the Spanish-speaking EU Battle.net news blog. They had that extra piece on there.
Great. Randomly. So with this card, this Verdant Longneck, and this new mechanic, let's skip the card for a second. Let's just talk about Adapt. We've already seen, this reminds me personally, this reminds me a bit of Spare Parts from mechs, except it's just immediately applied on and costs nothing.
Right. Sort of.
You know, it's what it reminds me of. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's Discover. It's Discover
for minions. It's Discover a Spare Part. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So you're presented with three of them.
Right.
Three of the 10.
Right. And then you're presented with three. So it's Discover a spare part.
Yeah.
JR, what do you think about Adapt?
I want to see more cards and what it's used for, but I think it's a cool mechanic. Once again, it's Discover, which we've seen time and time again now, as a mechanic that Blizzard really likes. And don't get me wrong, like Discover is a pretty cool mechanic in the game. I would like to have seen something else new. But this is fine. I do like the fact that I can place a minion and then try to get the desired effect that I want.
Right.
And be disappointed when I have like three different ones that I really want and none of them show up. Yep. And then I have to be like, oh, this guy gets Divine Shield. Now I'm disappointed.
Divine Shield's great, man. It's coming back.
With Kazakus every time. I never get the spells that I want.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Tannen, what do you think here? Are you a fan of these adapt mechanisms?
I am, actually. No, I am. I'm glad the way you put it. It's actually the way I wanted to tackle this card. If we take away the card, right, we take away the 5/4 beast for 5 mana here and just look at the ability is really interesting because I think, like you said, the best way to put it is it's like Discover a spare part. Now, we saw games actually come down to getting the correct spare part in the past in some really big spots. And then we've seen Discover actually come up into big spots where like, oh, they need this like specific thing. So you can kind of tailor it to where you get the right situation with Adapt here. Like JR was kind of alluding to it. It's going to really suck when you're like, 4 of the 10 are good for me, and I got 3 of the other 6. Great. You know, like, and I just missed and I whiffed and now I suck and now I can't win. But here's the thing. So if the cards are good that come along with Adapt or playable, which a 5/4 beast for 5 is like close, it's close.
If it's not awesome. Can do it. Yeah.
It's not awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty bad, but it's close. If Adapt is good enough, then it's fine. I think this is going to be an ability that's going to be pretty cool in Arena that you're going to see come up a lot just because it gives you added value. I know you hate Arena, John. We got it.
Whoa! Hold on, okay. Sir. Just because I don't play a lot of Arena does not mean I hate Arena. It means that I dislike it heavily. Continue.
Okay. I know you dislike heavily on Arena.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Jeez. Take the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, apparently I did. But no, I think Adapt can be pretty good and lead to some really cool, interesting things. If it starts to show up and constructed, I would be happy. This is the kind of RNG that I like because it's a little more controlled RNG and it is a skill tester in a lot of ways. Like, I've seen a lot of situations come up with Discover in the past where out of the three cards, two of them are very real possibilities and choices. And you can see them have to make, you can see the player have to make a really tough choice and decide where the game's going to go from this spot. And Adept can definitely lead to that because we're going to have some undercosted, aggressively statted minion that comes along with Adept that's going to make it into Constructed. It has to happen that way because they want their keyword to show up. You know, they want people to actually play with it instead of like Inspire, which like never made it into, you know, I mean, yeah, like a couple of the other keywords that just never made it into Constructed pretty much.
Yeah. So, yes. Okay. So is this choose three mechanic Blizzard's new preferred version of RNG?
I think so. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that is the line that the community has kind of forced Blizzard to draw a little bit and saying, yes, we get it. RNG is fun, but Babbling Book feels a little extreme to me, that true RNG card. Whereas these discover mechanics have felt really great. When you're discovering, your discover cards are never good for the stats. So you're taking a pretty big hit, and sometimes you do whiff, sometimes you get exactly what you need. But for the most part, you have a good, solid choice. You feel pretty safe playing that card, that you're going to get something that's going to benefit you. So, Tannen, you said you think so. JR, what do you think? Is this going to be the new RNG that we see in Hearthstone kind of going forward?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has been it feels like the last few expansions, ever since League of Explorers at this point. They've kind of used this mechanic with the, you know, Discover and, you know, Kazakus, and now.
But this is the first time they've used it without the Discover.
With a different name. Yeah. Right? I think, yeah, we'll see it. I also think like this will be a really good mechanic on minions that are cheaper. Like the one that we got was a 5-mana 5/4, and that one's not. Maybe that one has something to do with it. Like it's not as exciting to me at that point.
There's already a 4-mana 5/4, right? That's
if it was a 2-mana or something like that with adapt, that card, like if they have a 2-mana, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, just think about if it's like, think about if it's like 3-mana 2/2 stealth adapt. Like that card's great. Like, right. I would play that card.
Sure.
You know, just something aggressively costed, aggressively statted. It's gonna happen. Like we get this every time, the first time this stuff is out. They're gonna push the new ability.
I think we're gonna get a 2-mana 2/2 adapt.
That's what I
call
think
it
too.
Right now.
I think
or that, even yeah, a 2-mana 1/2.
I think that's gonna be I'm gonna call it a 2-mana 2/2, and we're gonna get it for Hunter. Hunter's going to get a 2-mana 2/2 adapt.
Please, good Hunter cards. Come on.
So one time. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be...
With Death Rattle, gain +1/+1 for each Death Rattle card.
It's a mini Dr. Boom. It's a mini
We already Dr. have that. Boom. We already have that in Standard again.
Oh, my God. All right. So,
have you played against Fincha lately? That card is not okay. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay, yeah. For the one time that the guy makes it in the top 8, I get it. Okay. anyways, so... Overall, though, we're pretty lukewarm on Verdant Longneck, right? It's not that great of a card.
I'm going to go out and say I'm a little bit warmer than lukewarm. I'm like edible warm.
Like 6 out of 10, 6.5
out of 10.
You know,
because like, okay, like when you get your food and it's like lukewarm, it's like not that great, right? It goes cold pretty fast. I'm talking about like they left it under the heating lamp for a little while. You know, it's warm, but it's not hot.
It's closing time at Subway warm.
Yep. There Got you it. Go.
Fair enough. Closing time at Subway warm. So it's like a 6.5 out of 10. JR, where do you peg this guy?
I peg him low, to be honest.
Yeah, like I put him in 3 or 4. Yeah. 3 or 4. That's where I peg him as well. Let's go on to we're already through the last one, but we still have so much to talk about. This is a big deal. So we have also another new mechanic called quests. They all are 1-mana spells. I believe they've confirmed that.
Yes.
And what it does, it appears above your hero like a secret. But like, if you've ever played World of Warcraft, Tannen, you can ignore this part. You have your quest giver has an exclamation point above his head. Looks like that. And each class will have these quests. And in this one, we have Awaken the Makers. And the quest is summon 7 Death Rattle minions. Reward Amara, Warden of Hope. So basically, once you've played 7 Death Rattle minions, and I believe that's for yourself or your opponent. I believe that was confirmed. So even if your opponent plays it. I need to confirm that. So I'm going to have JR talk a little bit because JR raised his eyebrows. Like, that's the first he's heard of it.
That was the first I've heard of that.
And now I'm very afraid.
But keep in mind, I did not get the news until an hour or two before we went on the show.
Anyways, let's just talk about this idea of questing for a second while John double checks his knowledge.
So questing, like, it feels like to me like they're kind of bringing that. If anybody's ever played the WoW TCG, they actually had quests in that game. I only got to play that game a couple times, so I didn't really understand how they worked. It was more like almost a resource, but you did get a reward along the way. In this case, it's like you get it's a legendary spell, and it's guaranteed to be in your opening hand. You can mulligan it away if you want to, and then it won't be in your opening hand if you do that. Or it might be like patches will always come back. And in this case, but there's no reason to ever do that if you're playing a deck centered around your quest anyway, because the reward is going to be like a really big thing. In this case, for priest, the reward is Amara, Warden of Hope. And she is basically Reno, but better. She's a 5-mana 8/8 taunt that with the battle cry of set your hero's health to 40. So it's Reno buffed up even better. So that would be fun to look forward to.
So I don't have it confirmed still, but I found where I think I messed up. Your opponent can see what your quest is.
Yes.
So
they can see the progress of the quest.
They can
as well
see the progress, but that does not mean that that they when they play something. It also does say summon. Did you talk about the fact that it says summon and not play? I don't want to go over it again.
I did not, but that is a good point.
It did say summon, so you could summon 4 and then play Nizoth and boom, you're done. And now you get the new Amara, Warden of Hope. Tannen, you've been quiet. What do you think?
I have. Okay, let's start with saying this is the first legendary spells in the game, right? This is the first time we're getting those. That's kind of cool. This is something I talked about with some friends of mine like a year ago. I wanted legendary spells. I wanted some like big impactful like spell instead of just minions. So it's cool that we're getting that. I guess I'll go into the constructed side of this. The first inclination of this is that it's wildly unplayable for me. So this is a card that naysayer. I know. But here's the thing. Have you played a priest lately? It's hard to win even when your opening hands are good. Now you're giving me this 1-mana card that doesn't actually do anything, and I still have to try to win with a card down. And there's not a lot of like really great card draw in priest. Like there's some okay stuff, but like other cards that say draw card just, are not great.
Yeah, just Northshire Cleric, Power Word Shield.
Pfft. Yeah, I mean like those cards are like, okay. Are those cards actually good though? Like they're fine. You have to go through hoops to make them good. You're not playing minions that have death rattle on
you
them.
You have to go through like, hoops to make them good. Why does every priest deck run them?
Because it has to, because the class is that bad. Like, it's just that bad. So, like, here's the thing.
But it's not
you have
hoops.
These cards in your deck.
It's not hoops.
Well, here's the thing. You have these cards in your deck that are, like, doing other things to heal and draw cards. Now, where are your Death Rattlers? Like, yeah, you need to put Loot Hoarder in your deck, obviously, when you're playing this. Like, that's a card that you need to have. But here's the thing. You're making your deck suboptimal. Like, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing here. And, yeah, this the payoff is great, but the ends justify the means, and I just don't know yet.
We like, had it some just great feel good Nizoth priest action going on for quite a while.
Yeah, you're going to be playing 40-minute games. Have fun.
A lot of people love 40-minute games.
Yeah, you're still going to lose a
they're
lot of
wrong.
Them.
Don't get me wrong. They are 100% wrong, but they like to have 40-minute games. Trust me, I have the emails to prove it. How often, sure like, I'm a control player. I'm like, okay, fair enough. You exist. Just by the way, I'm joking. Please don't send me emails. Yes, control is a very important part. And some people love long games. I get it. I totally get it. But You're right. You will get 40-minute games, but at the same time, when I'm Shaman and I start playing Arena Priest, sometimes it's just better to concede. Even if I do mostly win, if by turn three I don't have a decisive board, I just concede. Not because I can't win it, but because it'll take me too long to figure out if I do. So you don't really lose that much anyway. And the other control players enough. Can play against each other. You can have fun. Make it into an 80-minute game. It'd be great. Lots of fun. Hold on. The last four adaptations have apparently been announced.
Ooh.
I'm going
Breaking
through
news.
It.
Do we have a soundbite for this? Yeah, there we go.
So according to the announcements, maybe not. I'm looking. Peter Whalen just tweeted, the last four adaptations, colon, and took me to the thing.
I don't see it there either.
I know, I'm looking for it.
I found it.
Oh, there it,
it
is.
Found it.
So yep. Volcanic Might is a +1/+1. Rocky Carapace.
Yeah.
Carapace. It's Italian. Carapace. No, Carapace. +3 health. Shrouding Mist. Stealth until your next turn. Or Poison Spit. Destroy any minion damaged by this one. Basically the same as the Emperor Cobra /Pit Snake ability. I'm going to link that to you now, chat. Sorry about that. This is, as you can tell, this is all new. This is exciting. So those are the rest of those. No surprises there, right? The only one that I didn't think of was Poison Spit. I didn't know if they would give that one for 0 mana.
That one's pretty good, too.
I think so. It's...
I still don't think Verdant Long Neck is going to be worth
that
it.
Good. Although,
no,
if you
I don't think
guarantee
that card's very good. I think the ability.
A 5/7 for 4 or for 5. It's not bad. Some extra health. The health is the weak part there. So, if you just get more health or Divine Shield isn't that bad on it either.
Yeah.
There's some stuff there.
You can give it stealth and that's decent, but I would just rather play the tiger at that point.
Yeah, you're just like going through hoops to play a card you could be playing.
Then situational stuff too. Like, yeah, I get it. Anyways, so those are the remaining of those adapt mechanics. Sorry about that. I know we digressed, but hey, sometimes it happens. That's why I keep my Twitter feed open while I do this show because... so often something like this comes out. Anyways, back to what we're talking about. So Tannen, you're not a big fan of this specific quest mechanic.
I will say this. It's fun, it's cool, and it's new, right? I'm gonna do it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm gonna play quest decks. It's gonna be fun. You'll probably have some kind of like reward for doing quests within the game as well early in it. It's going to be a new way to play the game, a new thing to be doing. So that's always great. But, for people who want to be winning as quickly as possible and as early as possible in the set, you should probably be doing something else more powerful.
I feel like there's going to be one quest in this set that's going to rule them all.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And that's the one that's going to be like a tier 1 or tier 2 deck.
It'll be Shaman and we know it.
There's no way they're that oblivious. If they do give Shaman the best one, we'll just quit. We'll just end the podcast.
Well, is it just the best one because it's Shaman?
No. No.
No?
It'll be something like play 7 overload cards and do 30 damage to your opponent. You know, like something just stupid.
Oh, so we have it done by turn 6. So,
yeah,
all right, cool.
Exactly. So, yeah. Anyways, and it is, again... summon, so who knows if these other quest cards will say summon as well, but we'll have to see. Can we any lingering thoughts on these cards that we put out overall based on what you're seeing so far, Tannen? Are you excited? Do you feel like we're moving in the right direction for Hearthstone as a design decision?
I do. I can't say whether it's the right or wrong direction, because like, who can say what's correct for Hearthstone? I know what's correct for me, and I want the game to slow down a tiny bit. You know, I want the game to be not decided, because like right now, especially in standard, it feels like the first three turns are the most dynamic turns of any game, and they decide the game and almost nothing else matters. Like, that's just a very generalization way to put it, but that's how it feels a lot of the time, right? And if we have these cards that are like, we're trying to make something happen on turn six by doing all these cool things the first couple turns of the game, or we're starting to play five and six drops again in our deck that aren't like, you know, the best possible card in the game, you know, we don't just have to have Sylvanas and Rag. Like, I'm pretty excited about where the game's going, because honestly, I'd like to see a little more interactive, drawn out games. I really would. Like, not all the time. You know, I don't want my average game to double or anything like that, but I would like to see a little more back and forth.
I don't want to see 10 mana crystals. I'm not going to lie. As soon as I see 10, I'm just concede. JR, what do you think? You feel good about the direction of the new expansion?
I mean, to me, it feels like similar style of stuff that they've been doing. I do like the new quest mechanic. I do like the new adapt mechanic. So I'm happy that they're adding new mechanics and things like that. I'm hoping to see that in future expansions as well, that they keep adding new stuff, because that's what makes CCGs like this fun, is that they keep adding to it different ways of playing the game. I'm actually really excited to see where this quest mechanic goes. I'm hoping that it's pretty good. If it's not, then I'll be disappointed, but I'm really interested in seeing what the next other, you know, eight quest cards are going to be.
Right. And we're going to have two more shows before we even hear about the next card. So we would love your participation here. Listeners, people hanging out in chat, if you have ideas, if you have thoughts, if you have questions, send them to wellmet@blizzpro.com. Cool. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for our Journey into Un'Goro massive, awesome live reveal. If you weren't here for the beginning of the show, we were rocking the Land Before Time and Jurassic Park soundtrack. So that was pretty fun. So you should definitely come out.
Da, 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 da.
There it is. That was great.
We don't own any part of this music.
It's true. Yeah, that's right. You only can do 7 seconds. As soon as you get eight seconds, we have to start a tribute. So that was perfect.
And it was just me acapelling the whole time.
So answer a question, Rythos42 asks in chat, does the rotation happen before the set is released? It is simultaneously. So when the new expansion is released is also when Year of the Mammoth will happen. So those two things will happen in the same patch. Okay, we've got a few housekeeping things from last week that we were so forgetful. I was so forgetful to put into the show. So let's talk about them now. First, ranked floors. This is pretty cool. This is the big deal. And it's one of the best temporary solutions that we can have for the ladder system in its current iteration. Starting soon, TM, ranked floors will be introduced into Hearthstone. And what ranked floors are is at rank 15, at rank 10, and at rank 5. Once you have achieved that rank, you cannot drop below that. So we have all been there where we were, you know, at rank 11 or at rank 6 or at rank 2. We dropped back to like 7, 13, 18. Like, we've all dropped the 5 ranks before. Good news.
And I basically quit the game at that point.
Yeah, feels awful. Good news is you can't drop below that threshold once you get there. Arguably, this is it there for a few reasons. Number one, it encourages you once you hit that floor to experiment a little, take a breather, play some fun decks, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can't lose stars. It's no different than being at rank 20 at that point. So that's pretty neat. JR, what do you think about this change here? Are you stoked? Is the ladder fixed forever? You're done? You're the happiest ladder player in the world now?
I'm not sure if it's fixed forever, but this is a great change in the right direction. And I've already felt that this season. Like, I've gotten to rank 5. I went to rank 4, went to rank 3, dropped all the way back down to rank 6 and 7. And I'm just like, man, okay, I'm back up to rank 5 again. Now it's, you know, I'm losing a few more games. I'm about ready to go back down to rank 6. And I don't feel like playing the game right then, because it's like, you know, I'm at the point where I'm just swinging back and forth so wildly right now that I want to play something different. But I know that if I do, like, I have to play Shaman right now, because if I don't, my win percentage isn't going to be high enough and I'm going to fall back down, because that's how I fell down to rank 6 and 7 to begin with, is because I'm like, oh, I'm going to play Reno Warlock and get destroyed. And it felt bad. And then I didn't feel like playing anymore.
Can I give you one tip? Don't lose.
Just play Shaman.
Just don't lose.
Don't lose. That's true. That is true.
Hold on, I'm gonna write that one down. Can you say it one more time?
Don't be a Tannen and start winning.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Step one, win. Step two, don't lose.
Yes.
Perfect.
Perfect. You heard it here first on WoW, man. Two-step
process to be successful.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's like, if I'm at rank 5 or even rank 4, and I'm like, well, I'm going to play something different because that's what I feel like playing, and I don't feel punished for it at that point. And then I can switch back to whatever deck is getting the good win percentage if I want to try to make that push to legend.
Yeah.
But it also helps. It's not just rank 5. You know, people have the same experience at rank 5 that they're having, people who are having a tough time getting to rank 10 or people who are having a tough time at getting to rank 15. It's the same across the board.
I also think that there's that fear that once you get to that milestone, whether it's 15, 10, or 5, it's difficult.
You're just going to lose it all.
Well, it's difficult to want to play a different deck than what got you there. Whether it's 15, right. 10, or 5, if I got to rank 10 for the first time with, some sort of druid deck, once I start playing at rank 9, I'm like, well, this is clearly the best I've ever been. This is the deck that I should be playing with. Why would I even touch anything different? And you won't even know if, like, oh, well, if I switch to this priest, I have better matchups, or I can learn something new, and learn something new playing at a level that I know where I am reaching at versus, you know, rank 13. I can't tell if it's just the lack of diversity in my matchups or whatever that's causing me to lose. So I also like it for that reason. Tannen, what do you think? How do you feel about ranked floors?
I actually love it. And, you know, this is something we talked about on the show. I think one of the first weeks that I was on, I think it was the first week where we had this whole new cast together. And JR and I kind of like threw some ideas out there on how to like make the ladder feel less stagnant, like less the same thing every single time. And kind of like, they wanted to speed you up into getting into Legend. They realized that it's a grind every single month and that it was the same kind of thing every single month. And this is a really good step in a positive direction. Yeah, you can still go on a big losing streak. You know, you can get all the way up to rank 1 and then fall to 5. Like, that is a thing that can happen. But you have that cushion now. Like, you have that backboard, that barrier to keep you from sliding into oblivion and just wanting to throw your keyboard across the room like John has a few times, you know?
And I've lost so many pieces of gaming hardware to anger. Yes.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet, but I've come close on a couple of mice. But,
Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Well, I mean, I'm playing Overwatch now. The mouse gets a little punishment more than it does with Hearthstone. But I think this is a really good step in the right direction. And I got to completely agree with what you asked JR earlier in his answer. It's like, this isn't the perfect fix. Like, it's not fixed forever, but it's a very good step in a right direction. And I love, this is just another example of the Blizzard brass listening to the community when they have a problem and enacting a fix if they can.
Sure. Cool. Let's close that one up. Go on to the next one here. Spirit Claws and Small Time Buccaneer finally getting a nerf. Way too long of a sounder. Come on.
They needed that one, though.
It did. So Spirit Claws is no longer a one mana weapon. It's now going to be a two mana weapon. And then Small Time Buccaneer has been nerfed from a one health or two health minion to a one health minion. Tannen, overall thoughts, are these the right nerfs for these cards and overall for the game?
Absolutely. I think we've even mentioned on the show before, I would like to see Small Time Buccaneer either be a 1-1 or only get like two power instead of three. You know, we're getting neutral flame imps in multiple classes that don't deal you damage. Like, it's just not fair. Sure. Spirit Claws is very oppressive at one mana. Being able to fit it in at any point of the curve, with, especially when you're like you're overloaded, makes the card extremely flexible and good. In my match to get me to the finals of the tournament that I'm in right now, I actually, like, against someone who played a 1-1 on turn one, played Spirit Claws, Coin, Small Time Buccaneer. And I was just like, this is just actually severely unfair. Like, this is, it's not a game anymore. The game's just over. And it's like I had mentioned earlier in the show, the first 2 to 3 turns are the most dynamic turn in Hearthstone right now. And that's not okay. Like, you need to make, you know, turns 4 through 7 and 8 matter more. And this is a step in that direction. JR, I know you're excited about it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I had a higher than 57% accuracy on this, for sure. So,
perfect. I'm the one who's going to change.
But no, I thought that I knew that Small Time Buccaneer would likely see a nerf. Like, it really needed something. And I figured the most likely would be one health. I was hoping to see maybe something different, but one health felt like it was still not completely unplayable, but weaker for sure. And easier to deal with for sure as well. So I really like that change.
Cool.
Instead of potentially taking more damage, you know, trying to kill it, you're taking a little bit less, you know, maybe you're saving 3 damage. And in those aggro games, that 3 damage could be huge to avoid. The one that surprised me but shouldn't have was Spirit Claws. I didn't think that Spirit Claws would be getting nerfed at the same time, but it makes complete sense that it is a weapon that has needed it for a long time to be nerfed. I was just surprised to go ahead and see it. But I think it's a really good change as well. Also, not going to make the card completely unplayable. You're still going to see play, but it's not going to be as crazy good as it was.
Right. Okay. So we still have a two things to hit on. JR, what's going on with Fireside Gatherings?
Yeah. So one of the things that they kind of talked about was, let me bring up this really quick, because I just had it up there a second ago. But one of the things they talked about was, they're adding some stuff to Fireside Gatherings. Man, I had it up here. Like, I wanted to read it word for word. Here it is. They're talking about, if you're not familiar with Fireside Gatherings, a great way of passionate, yada, yada, yada. But they're talking about...
Was that word for word?
That was word for word, exact quote, not fake news. We're planning on beefing up this program and adding additional in-client features to support Fireside Gatherings during the Year of the Mammoth. And that is something I initially missed when I read this. I'm like, yay, Fireside Gatherings, you know, they always talk it up. We've been talking about wanting in-game client features for Fireside Gatherings for quite a while now. And it sounds like we're going, you know, this is saying we're going to get it. So I'm curious to what those features are going to be, and if this might finally be our in-game tournament mode.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I'm excited. If it's not tournament mode, this is a step towards it, though. Like, this is definitely like the first move towards it, and testing something like it out.
Or like being able to start up a game on replay, you know, and not having those disconnects be so awful at those Fireside Gathering tournaments. you know, or just things like that, or being able to lock in decks and just helping these quote unquote innkeepers, you know, being able to, you know, allow fair play at their fireside gathering events.
Yeah, I lost my first game ever to a disconnect today at like a real event, you know, like a real tournament, not like just random ladder game. And boy, does it feel bad, because I was 100% going to win the game. But instead, I just kind of like interneted out for one turn, ended up losing by like half that turn that I missed. And if we can have something that fixes that, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I've had issues at Fireside Gatherings tournaments in the past that I've lost because I played someone earlier in the day and I played them again and they completely changed their decks knowing what I was playing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they're not locked in, there's no, at a lot of these events, there's no like deck checking or things like that. And just, it feels bad. Mm. It doesn't bring a pleasant experience. So I'm excited to see what they do with this.
100%.
Cool. All right. 3 out of 4 arena goes standard. Tannen, what's going on with this one, man? You're the resident arena expert.
Yeah, pretty excited to announce this one. We're getting a pretty big overhaul in arena here. It's no longer going to be wild. They're going to test it out with standard. They're saying that this is not something that is a fix that is, you know, staying forever, but you're only going to get standard cards now in arena. So this is pretty cool. The reason I'm excited about this is this allows synergy to be a bigger thing in arena now. And I'm pretty excited about that because, you know, you didn't get to really show off any of the new mechanics that much if they're synergistic in the new set. Like if you're drafting Druid and you get a couple of Jade cards, let's say you get 5 Jade cards in your deck, it's actually not that good. You know, you have to draw literally all 5 of them and then hope they're good enough. And sometimes they're not because you're still drawing Jade cards on like turn 10 because you get that far in arena and they're just not as good. But now you can actually kind of draft a deck that is more synergistic now because you're not getting cards that were made a year and a half before the Jade mechanic was even thought of, you know, just as used an example. So there's that going on. So you're going to have the new stuff like that. They're going to, you know, change a couple other things in arena here. There's just a couple small tweaks. I don't have the sheet right in front of me, but I know they're going to up the spell count as well, which I think is a good thing because too many times in arena, it just kind of devolves into whoever plays the most minions on curve wins.
Right.
You know, and if someone misses their like 6 drop, they're just going to lose. But if we have some of these, you know, bigger game impacting spells, then the game starts to, you know, be better for that. It changes up a little more and it feels a little less monotonous, which I'm a big fan of.
Right. So, yeah, overall, I'm a fan of this too. I think it's going to, it's especially as more cards introduced, they were going to need to address this eventually. It's better to address it now when it's a quality of life improvement than in 2 years from now when Arena becomes virtually unplayable with the 500, you know, the whatever, 800 new cards that we have then on top of the 1500 that we have now. And So for me, like, I think they're addressing it at the right time. I think the measures are drastic enough. I'm glad you're finally seeing the Hearthstone team say, enough with the overly simple rules. We have smart players and you know what? We can't let the game be affected by this unwritten rule thing, that we've been really, you know, really protective over. And I think for the right reason, I think their heart was in the right place to not, you know, do that. But as soon as they took C'Thun and Purify out of it, I'm like, well, you might as well just do whatever you need to do to make sure that Arena is a challenging, rewarding, and is close to balance format while still emphasizing the randomness of drafting, you know, 1 out of 3 cards 30 times. So I feel pretty good about this. JR, do you have anything else, anything to add?
The only thing, I don't think this is going to still be the final solution with Arena. What I'm hoping that they will do is eventually have just an Arena pool of cards that changes maybe by season or something to that effect. Yeah. I think that would be cool.
I think so.
I There is one other thing too. They did lower the frequency in some of the really broken cards as well. Like you're not going to see Flame Strike as often.
And the Abyssal, the Warlock Abyssal.
Prosecutor or whatever. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, that card, those two cards are not okay.
Abyssal Arena, Enforcer.
Enforcer,
the 7-mana 6/6, yeah.
Yeah, you cannot ever beat the second copy of that card. The first one is hard enough. If they have two, you're just dead. Like, you're never beating it. And it's honestly the only card that matters a lot in the game. Like, it doesn't matter what you did before. It not now doesn't matter what you do after. This card has happened, and the game is now over. And that's not okay.
Right. And Abyssal, Enforcer, and Flamestrike are both commons. So that's why they're nerfing how often you see them. Because, well, if they go simply by rarity and apply that to everything, then those appear as much. One thing, I don't know if we added it, but I wanted to emphasize it. Awaken the Makers will not be a discoverable spell. Did we talk about that?
I think we forgot to.
But okay, so Awaken the Makers, the legendary spell we were talking about earlier, I had it in the side notes, and it's just getting really hot in here. I might pass out. Is it will not be discovered or randomly generated. So you can't get it from Babbling Book. You can't discover it. Anything like that. So there you go there. Just because
I would be surprised if it's in Arena as well. Like, they haven't stated that, but I'll be very surprised if these are in Arena.
Sure.
I want to lean towards no, but
yeah. And then also Amara, Warden of Hope, is not collectible. So it will be treated like dream cards. So you also cannot discover or generate her as well. So while they act as spells and minions, they do not follow all of the same rules. So again, this is another example of the Hearthstone team putting the gameplay first and the balance, and just the priority of fairness first in the face of obvious rules, see it once and done type things. So, I'm hoping that we see more judicious use of breaking these rules like they have used, you know, just over these two examples. But I guess time will tell, friends. We got to get out of here, though. It's been a long show. A long show, long night. But a fun show, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good show.
Exciting show.
Sorry about the tech issues at the beginning with the microphones and all that kind of stuff.
My bad.
So,
sorry.
You can send your angry emails to jr@blizzpro.com.
Yeah, JR, how could you have something not work for you this week? Like, it's almost just you don't have your camera working. Come on.
Jeez, the worst. Anyways, let's get out of here. We do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. And I think we got some updates in Patreon land, don't we, JR?
That we do. We have some new patrons out there, several new patrons. A big thank you to Steve H., Jilliak, and Jake S., all contributed as new patrons this week. If you'd like to be a patron, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. It's a great way to help fund the show and allow us to continue doing this.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you all so much. We're actually $35 away from a bonus episode each month. So we're coming up close on that goal again. We fell away from it, but now we're really close back on up to it. So if you'd like an additional Well Met podcast each month, let's help us get there. iTunes reviews, nothing new this week. We do love your 5-star iTunes reviews. They help us get discovered in iTunes, help people know how good of a show we are. We believe we're a good show. If you do too, head on over to iTunes, type in Well Met, and then hit us and leave a 5-star review. If you leave a comment, it will also, it'll allow us to be able to read your name on the show, mispronounce it. We have JR do that every week. If you don't leave a comment, though, it'll show that a 5-star review is left, but it won't say who left it. So I can't thank you and JR can't mispronounce your name. So, yeah, there's that. All right. So shout outs for the week, and where can people find you? Tannen, you're up first.
Yeah. Shout outs to the two other guys on this show and putting up with my immense technical difficulties today that I had to make this happen. You can find me on Twitter at TheTannenGrace, and you can find me. I'm pretty active in the Well Met stuff on Facebook as well. So come on over there. I want to hear some smack talk before our matches that we have coming up. I want every single person to challenge me. Bring it.
Awesome. I'm gonna check out, because I know I put up a sign up sheet, and I believe next week we have a Dan O and Carell next week, and I believe Dano will be playing Tannen, and Carell actually wants to play JR.
Ooh,
I will not be there.
So you're gonna play Tannen as his second choice. So yeah. If you want to make it, Tannen, we'll find a time.
I can cosplay and play as JR during the match.
Yeah, it'll be pretty sweet. I'm really excited for these. Tannen, Carell wants to play some off-meta decks, though.
Oh, I got it. We're good there.
Tannen's life is off-meta.
Yep.
Basically. So we'll be doing that. I thought about like releasing a separate episode of just like these post-show matches or other things, but if anything, we might upload them to the Blizz Pro YouTube to watch, so you can watch the show matches or something like that, or maybe post it on Patreon for something. But I don't think we'll release the audio only version unless people are like, hey, we want it. So there is that. JR, where can people find you, and shout outs for the week?
Yeah, people can find me over at Twitter at Eldorian. Don't really have any shout outs that I can think of this week. However, as I mentioned, I will not be on the show next week, which is unfortunate because it's number 100 and I feel really, really terrible about that.
We're going to find some way. We're not doing 100 without you.
Unless if we can move it one day back, beyond back.
We're not doing Tuesday. 100. Dano and, Carell. We're going to be talking. I'm going to email you. That's why I had you put your emails in the spreadsheets, because we're going to have to figure that out. We're not doing episode 100 without a host. So
we'll figure that out. I'm going to be at Disney World. I'm going to be in Orlando.
I'm there now.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going to be there at the end of March. So,
but my wife and I are going out there for a week, and it'll be our awesome vacation.
Awesome.
Looking forward to that.
Enjoy your vacation. Thanks for ruining episode 100.
You're welcome. Great. I didn't plan very well, but sorry.
You mean whenever you make plans, you don't go, when is episode 100 of Well Met going to be?
No, I do not. And also, before we do the show, I do not make sure that my microphone is plugged in.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Cook, the founder, one of the co-founders and co-owners of BlizzPro, one of the larger Blizzard community fan sites. Can't even check his own mic. So,
no, I can't. I have other people do that for me, and they failed me.
Fair. Fair enough. All right. As for me, you can find me everywhere at KickTripod, twitch.tv/KickTripod, twitter.com/KickTripod. I'm going to be streaming right after the show at twitch.tv/kicktripod. So you should come hang out with me there. It'll be fun. I think we're going to do some Overwatch and try to get my alt up to 25 before tomorrow. It's going to be rough.
So jealous.
It's going to be rough. But we'll see if we can get there. I'm so excited.
I can't even play Overwatch right now. I'm so jealous.
Have fun. Have fun staring at the ocean, bruh. Yeah. So anyways, let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. Join us live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/BlizzBro to get in on the conversation and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is supported by our fans. If you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. You can also find Well Met apparel at store.blizzbro.com. Special thanks to Jake Butno for our music and Scythe Designs for our graphic designs this week. This has been episode number 92 of Well Met. We'll see you guys next week. Bye. JR, do your dress part thing again.
I can't.
Damn it.